In this episode, I sit down with my friend Blake, and we have a lovely discussion on how Nelson Nash challenges one's thinking in his work, Becoming Your Own Banker, particularly in the areas of money, banking, and thinking long range. Where do you want to end up in life? We had fun, and I hope you enjoy listening. Thank you. Welcome to the Banking Life Podcast. I'm your host, James Nethery, and today, you know, if you listened any length of time at all, you know I get excited when people are in the studio, and today is no different. I'm excited to have my friend Blake Townsend with me. So before he tells you about himself, right, I just want you to know he flew in a couple of states, He's going to spend a day or two here with us in the office, and I'm glad you're here, and you even took the time to come see us, Blake. So welcome, and you know, tell the fine folks who you are, what you do, and why it matters.
Well, James, I appreciate you as usual. You're a good friend to me, and I'm glad to be here. I'm here to continue rethinking my thinking and continue this process of becoming your own banker, learning, but also hanging out with good friends, eating good food, you know.
We did just get back from lunch, so, you know, if we fall out from a, you know.
Try not to eat too much, but, you know.
Corbett.
It gets good to you, you know what I mean?
So I want to say, you know, of course he's been here. He came in early this morning. We just returned from lunch. And, you know, we talk all the time, and we always talk. It gets around to or is filled with the infinite banking concept, Nelson Nash, Becoming Your Own Banker, and it's no different. So not because I surely don't want to be a biatchi to the algorithms, you know, but I just thought today we're just going to have a conversation. We invite you to listen if you wish. And, you know, if not, vial condius, and we love you without being harsh. And I mean that all in love.
It's all good, like you say.
I see you brought Nelson's book there. You got it in a ring binder.
I just laminated it. You know, you use something a lot, it's going to start to deteriorate quicker. So I just, you know.
I got you.
Take care of it a little bit.
Marked up appropriately, too.
Just a little bit.
All right. So you've been a guest several times, haven't you, over the years?
I have been on here. Yep.
Yep.
Gratefully.
I got you.
Yeah.
So anything in that book you want to talk about?
Oh, man, there's all kinds of stuff we could talk about, man. You know, this book is about so much more than it's got the reputation of. And yeah. I think, you know, the conversation around, you know, the financial world and whole life insurance with a mutual company that pays you a dividend, that's important for sure, right? That's the vehicle for this process. But there's a lot of stuff in this book that will help people long before they get a policy. It's kind of preparing you for how you're best going to, you know, put this process to work for you. And all the stuff that's in here is just good experience from our Nelson Nash, good words of wisdom, lots of nuggets that can just kind of help us generally in life. And it just so happens that, you know, he gets to the fact that this process is best worked out with the vehicle of the insurance policy. So,
yep.
You know, I think people can learn a lot from him and his life and this book. And the seminar that many people don't know about or haven't watched, of which this book is a textbook for, right? So maybe if you didn't understand this book, it's probably because you didn't watch the DVD series or the digital version of it, maybe, because it accompanies that. So, I think I just try to learn what I can and not, you know, sensationalize anything, not make it more than what it is or what it could be, but you really learn what's in there. And I think each time I open it and read something, I'm learning something new. So it's not always about financial gain and making more money and having more increase, but it's also what I think he called a peaceful, stress-free way of living. You know, when you figure a way to simplify how you live your life and all the financial matters, it all matriculates into a more peaceful, stress-free way of living.
So. Yeah, it's peaceful until you got big old honking premiums, dude, huh?
Yeah, if you're a productive person, you know, whatever we're doing to make money, you got to put it somewhere, right? That's all that is.
Yeah, I think that Nelson, and I don't speak for Nelson, you know, at all, but I spent as much time with the man as I could, and it turns out it was, you know, great relationship. Mm. I miss him dearly. But he challenged, I can't even imagine a situation of any depth that Nelson didn't challenge the way you thought.
Yep.
You know, and it wasn't in an aggressive, you know, trying to beat you up or I know something you don't. Not from that perspective at all.
Yeah.
But I think that book, Becoming Your Own Banker, right, challenges the way people think.
Yep.
I agree. You know, when you say there are nuggets in there and there's a lot that can be learned, even if you're not practicing, you know, the infinite banking concept or becoming your own banker, and I totally agree. But that's what came to my mind when you were saying that, how Nelson would challenge what was accepted, you know, thought or belief or theory in the financial world.
Yeah, he chose to swim upstream, right?
Yeah.
You know, and maybe that was by necessity, right? Because he found himself in a bind and he had to figure something out, you know? But isn't that all of us? Don't we all have things that come up in life and we got to figure out a solution for it?
Mm-hmm.
And he just, you know, happened to be somebody that could deliver a message that could help other people. And he did it with grace. You know, I wasn't able to meet him above ground, but I've seen many videos and heard his voice many times, and he seems like he was very gracious with people, very willing to meet them where they were, non-judgmental, just wanted to help people. And he took time and was patient and would be, you know, persistent with his pursuit when someone showed interest because he wanted to help them.
Yeah. No, I agree.
So,
you know, you're talking about peaceful, stress-free way of life. You know, he had, I'm sure it's in a 6.5 hour DVD available digitally or, you know, hard pressed plastic, you know, manufactured DVDs.
Who watches DVDs anymore? You know,
stop it. What?
I do, you know, but
I
I'm
do too.
You know, I swim upstream. You know what I mean?
There you go. There's some things that, you know, that's the only way you can find them.
Yeah.
It's like the, you know, our, the number one cause of stress in the all American family. Right. And it's financial.
Yep.
And then what's the end result of stress? You know, what causes all these heart attacks and strokes? And I'm not saying it's all due from stress, but stress just puts gas on the, you know, medical situation.
Yeah. I believe he said that in the DVD, if I'm not mistaken. He asked a physician that was in the audience and he said, the doctor said, you know, stress was the cause of it all. Where do medical maladies begin?
Mm.
So some kind of stress. And it usually manifests itself in a negative way in the body.
Yeah.
And the mind, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
The
where the mind goes, the body follows, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you can't think your way into right action.
Right.
But, you know, so action's required, but you're not going to do nothing.
Yeah.
Consistently, over time, on purpose, with intent that you haven't thought about.
Right.
There's no question about that.
Yep.
It's a, you know, stress-free way of life. It doesn't eliminate all stress, right, at all, practicing the infinite banking concept. But you tell me a situation where being properly capitalized hurts the situation, you know? And if you look at financial stress, you can just dang near guarantee there's a lack of capital
right
in that equation.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, you know, I just thought about the comparison of saving versus investing, right? If you've got a way that you can save and not have to introduce risk in an investment of some kind, and you have the ability to draw from that at the times in life when you need it, which are typically the ones that cause us the most stress, how different could life be, you know? And if you figured out or you learned about a concept or a process, right, that could help you do that, would you be willing to do the work to learn it and not succumb to maybe all the noise out there, whether that's financial media or even friends and family, you know.
Yeah, a lot of that.
But life's going to happen. And it's, you know, is saving and storing up, is it a bad thing? And if it's not a bad thing, it's good. And when you need it, it's going to be there, right? So
why aren't you doing it?
Why aren't we doing it?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you got friends and family, the brother-in-law that knows everything, is going to quarterback every decision that you do, and every financial person that you talk to. And I have a brother-in-law, have a couple of them, and I love them dearly. I'm just using them as you know what I'm talking about.
All
right.
Yeah, we all know.
Yeah. And then you have the financial noise. We was kind of talking about some of that at lunch.
Yep.
And even FOMO, you know, the just looking at the markets today, they're at all-time highs,
yep.
You know, whether it's precious metals, crypto, you know,
the stock markets.
You know. That produces some fear of missing out.
Sure.
You know, it keeps going up. It's going to continue to go. I need to get in before I miss it.
Right. So, you know, we've been talking about putting this policy in place, but boy, I sure see these gains I'm thinking I'm going to miss out on. Can we push this back?
Yeah.
You know, a few months, you know, let me see how this investment is going to go. I think I can do better, right? I can get a better rate of return, you know, with this other thing. You know what I mean? So it's prevalent. It's hard. It's hard to get the noise off you, you know?
It is.
We don't like compound interest because it takes too much time. But we want the end result, though. We sure want the end result. You know, after compound interest has done its job for just 10 years, maybe. 10 years is going to go by like that.
Yeah.
Do that for 10 years and see what's happening.
I like the the idea of compound interest. You know, the idea of missing out. Markets are up. Everything's up. And, you know, and everybody's got an opinion in the financial world on the right way to do this or the right way to do that. Or, you know, when it comes to dividend paying whole life, oh, my gosh, it's the agent trying to get paid a commission. And, you know, that's the worst thing in the world. And then, you know, I always think about an exponential curve.
Yeah.
All right. When you say, I'm going to put my money here, so I'm going to miss out on that, instead of, you know, letting it slow burn, compound, grow, you know, participate in the exponential curve. I mean, I can get that over here, quote unquote, maybe, maybe not. But the exponential curve, you know, if you draw that line on a camera, you know, we're flat, and then the curve goes exponential, right? Mm-hmm. It exists.
Yep.
And I'm not delaying the startup cost. I mean, by delaying the startup cost, I'm not avoiding it.
Right.
So if I'm putting it off, right, I'm not avoiding, if I ever do participate, if I ever do get started, I'm not avoiding that startup cost.
No.
Right. I'm just delaying it. And what I'm actually doing is eliminating the very top of the exponential curve.
That's right.
Yeah. And when you think about that, and it's true, I don't know, it may be motivate somebody, may not motivate them, but that is in fact true, because, you know, it's stressful if I got to come up with a great big old premium while everybody's doing something else. And, you know, the common quote unquote knowledge, wisdom, or financial in the financial world, or social media says whole life is bad, life insurance is bad, you know, buy term and invest in different, whatever the argument is. But there's something compelling if you read Nelson's book. You know, you can't really necessarily put your finger on it and bring all of that knowledge together with one thorough reading. You know there's something there, but you don't see it clearly, but you intuitively know this man knows something, right?
Yep.
And so you're delaying because you're participating in whatever shiny object there is out there. You're clipping off the most profitable, the most powerful part of that exponential curve.
Yes. And, you know, Nelson said it himself. You should do this and then go make the investment, whatever you were going to do, the decision you were going to make, right? You know, this asset doesn't have to stand alone. In fact, it can be the base of operations for everything else you want to do.
What?
Base insurance.
A proper capital base? What?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the basics of economics, Austrian economics especially. So saving, accumulating, the formation of capital, deferred choices. I'll spend the money later.
Mm-hmm.
While that's accumulating, it takes discipline.
It definitely takes discipline. There's something to be said for actually partaking in saving, putting something away for an extended period of time with the sole purpose of just saving it,
yep.
Right? Being prudent and having something to draw from at a time of need, maybe, not just a time of want.
Yeah.
You know, which unfortunately statistics show today that I think less than 5% of the population has, you know, more than $500 of savings, something like that.
It'd be terrible.
Can't go, you know, I think, past one paycheck without going into the red. So we could definitely go back to the basics of saving.
Yep.
And the question is there a particular way that's best to do that? And the financial world will tell you it's to put it in an investment.
Yep.
Which then introduces some kind of risk, which is the exact opposite of trying to save.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, you have a risk of loss to something that's supposed to be a, you know, rainy day fund for you.
Yeah, and you know, mm-hmm. Along with the financial narrative broadly in America today is, you know, the average guy, they're not smart enough to figure it out anyway. They need the investment advisor to show them what to do and how to do it and when to do it and how to perceive things. Yeah. So I'm abdicating my responsibility of my right. own capital formation to someone else.
Yeah, and I think we need to be taking offense to that. You know, I think we're all a lot smarter than we might either believe or
totally agree.
You know, want to put the work in to actually learn something. You know, instead of having a somewhat consumer drive-through mentality. You know, I can pull up and get a download of information in 5 or 10 minutes and. Go make a big decision based off of that little bit of research I just did.
Right. And 6 weeks later, I forgot everything
right.
that I heard
yeah.
or read.
Or today, you know, you can ask AI, you know, what's the best investment? You know, if I had this amount I was going to save each month, I was going to put away each month, what vehicle would be best? You know, take all the difficulty, which is really getting an understanding, you know, which is trying to actually gain knowledge. Take the time to learn something. You know, what's wrong with putting that money away for 6 months, 12 months while you go learn and figure out what might be best to do?
Yeah. I'm glad you brought up AI because I'm heavy on the artificial. Right. And we, you know, we haven't gone a deep dive in our office, you know, with AI, but we use it every day.
Yeah, I'm not against AI by any means, but it's a tool and it needs to be understood as to what its purpose is.
Yeah.
It's not a replacement for our brains.
No.
And you know, the very thing that created the AI now is going to replace you.
Yeah.
That's a, you know, weird kind of dystopian thought. But
you know, I've got to get down to the third and fourth level of a conversation before the you know, I got to slap AI around a little bit on some of its answers, and then it'll always apologize. And
right.
And then, you know, kind of the language is really, well, most people, you know, like I'm the problem. You know, I didn't understand the wrong information it gave me the first three times, but it adjusted to my, you know, back and forth. And but I think AI is going to replace a lot of financial advisors in the big wide world personally, you know?
I think that's a part of capitalism, man.
Yeah.
You got to find the best way to put your money to work. And if you can get the same answers for something for free, as opposed to somebody managing your portfolio or whatever it is, you know.
Well, can we get personal a little? Not too much, but you know what? Tell me. Again, and we probably, if you've been on here, like I said earlier, a couple of times, you know, so it's probably already out there. But for the listener right now, you know, give us some of your background. How did you get exposed to this idea of becoming your own banker?
Oh, man. So really, it's back in 2018 to 2019, just doing some research, came across the concept. I can't remember exactly if it was either a video or some form of media. Either, you know, the idea of becoming your own banker or, you know, the different variants of, you know, be the bank, all that type of stuff, right? So eventually I came across actually Nelson's body of work, and I bought the book. The problem is I didn't read the book for probably almost a year. I looked at it several times probably throughout that year. You know, it was one of the...
Does that mean look at the cover or just skim through
probably
it?
Probably look at the book sitting wherever it was sitting, on the shelf, on the desk, you know what I mean? And all I remember is I read the book finally one day, and I don't know why, but I didn't get it, and I just put it back down. And to be honest, I probably didn't read it fully. I probably did my skim read. You know, I have this kind of method where I'll read the first chapter, read the last chapter, and kind of look in between it, you know what I mean? So, but something, this I do remember, this was a video that I watched that made me go back to the book. And that second read made me kick myself, which was, this was 2020 now. And the reason I went back to it is because of all the stuff that was going on 2020.
You had time.
That's right. Yeah. I not only had time, but, you know, the entertainment out there was sort of doom and gloom. You know, everybody thought the world was going to end. We're all in quarantine. You know, financial markets were doing what they were doing. You know, where am I supposed to be putting my money now? What account am I supposed to be using? What vehicle am I supposed to be investing in now to ride this wave that's coming? You know what I mean? And I finally read that book again and understood it and kicked myself because I hadn't taken action before that. Because I believe I got it at that point, but still took me a while to, you know, get a real policy in force.
What, you know, what video was that? Do you remember? Caused you to go back and...
Actually, it was a video by a guy named Mike Maloney. And he's got a website called goldandsilver.com. And he has a set of videos that were, what's the name of the title of the videos? No, I can't remember, but he's got a series of what money is or how money works, something like that.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember the name of it right now. But anyway, that series of videos got me to looking at a lot more financial stuff. And I learned more about the banks. I learned truly about the Federal Reserve and what they do with, you know, Congress and you know, the creation of money, what the fractional reserve banking system really was. Well, what it was at that point, I didn't know what it was, but I learned about that. I learned about what the deposits meant to the banks. So that thought process and that rabbit hole, you could say, got me down to, okay, I need to read that book that had bank in it.
Yeah.
Because now I'm learning about banks.
Right.
And I'm learning about, you know, why it might not be a good idea to, you know, have your wealth just stored in a bank.
I got you.
Yeah. So, interesting, fun times.
Yeah. You know, learning about the banking system. And I totally get that. And, you know, becoming your own banker, make that kind of, oh my gosh, I already have the book.
Yeah.
And so you read the book. Why did it take you a year to get something going after reading and watching?
Well, probably like a lot of people, you got to be, you know, honest with yourself and realize that, you know, the idea of paying premium is abnormal. But when you learn about what's really going on there and what premium is in this process we're talking about, it took me a while to be comfortable with paying a premium. Until I really understood, and I thought I understood it after reading the book, but it's all good until you have to write a check. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I have a background in real estate, and it took me a while to get past real estate being the best place to put everything.
Yeah, well, how was the real estate market in 2020?
Depending on what kind of real estate you were talking about. You know, if you were wanting to buy a house, good luck. They were flying off the shelves, so to speak. Yeah. And if you were selling a house, you're going to make the most money ever for about a year and a half. I think 2021-ish, that was probably the peak of that mania. Prices going crazy in most markets.
So were you busy as a real estate agent?
I was busy, yeah.
Investor.
And still licensed. And real estate has always been very good to me. But I learned that that was not the best place for me to be storing all my wealth, which I didn't realize that's what I was doing by investing in so much real estate. The majority of my wealth was tied up in real estate. Yeah. And as you know, the only ways you can get access to that is either take on more debt or get rid of the asset, both of which take some profits, you know, either in the form of interest being paid every month or a tax that I'm going to have to pay when I sell the asset.
Yep.
So cash flow is always the name of the game, but if you ever want access to this, you know, magical equity that everybody values themselves by, you can only get that via a refinance of some kind or selling it. Yeah. And I wanted to figure out a different way, which also I learned about what banks were doing. And each time I did go to refi, I was a part of the problem, which is just the way our system works. It's a debt-based system. But, you know, when you learn that your deposits are what the banks create the loans from, and then they're charging you interest on the fake money that they created, which is what real inflation is, I'm creating more of a problem for myself. So,
an active participant, huh?
That's right. Whether you want to know it, yeah, believe it or not, it's we are a part of that game that's being played.
Yeah,
and the results are partially our own doing.
All right, so you worked through all that.
I did.
Took you about a year.
Yep.
And decided, you know, you're just going to pay a premium.
Yep.
And that was about 5 years ago then, mm-hmm, roughly?
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. So how's it going?
It's going great. And I'm not just saying that because I'm on your podcast, but, you know, yeah, when you understand, it's like you want the shade from the tree, but you got to plant the tree.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I know that the long-term plan is a bunch of shade. And I want as big of a tree as I can get, but you got to plant the tree first.
Yeah.
So the quicker you begin this process and put it in place, the better that tree is going to look. Or in my case, it's going to be several trees because it's several policies.
So, you know, the tree analogy, you know, when's the best time to plant a tree is, you know, 20 years ago, right? Well, when's the next best time? Right now.
Right.
And so I get that. And I want to point out, though, that all of the work that you did, whether it appeared to be work or I'm not talking necessarily physical labor, but you were pretty diligent and active, quote unquote, going down the rabbit hole. You know, watching these videos, reading these different things, thinking through your mind, wrestling with yourself, right? You were in discovering what, searching for the truth about what you should do, right? How things worked. Yep. I mean, that takes time, effort, and energy.
Absolutely, and you need to take the time to do that.
Yeah, and I mean, and so my point here is, you know, and I'm not a farmer, right? But, you know, if you're going to grow a crop, if you're going to plant a tree, it takes some work. You got to prepare the soil. You got to prepare your mind. You know, it takes work and some effort.
Yes, and life was still happening then. You know, I was a married man, and we found out that we were going to have our first child, which is now my almost 5-year-old son. I
can't believe he's almost 5 years old.
It's crazy. But, you know, learning that you're going to have a child, a good man, good woman, that makes you think about the kind of life that you want to live and the kind of life that you want to possibly provide for this child, right?
Stretches out your time horizon, too.
Absolutely. Yeah, we can't think, you know, the next 6 months anymore. Now, the long-term thinking has gotten a lot more
longer,
apparent and important. And longer, yes, and longer.
Yeah.
So, you know, we probably would have been okay had I kept doing that, but this is a much easier financial system to manage. I love real estate. There's different kinds of real estate. You got land, you got houses, you got commercial, office, industrial, all kinds of stuff, right? It's a fun asset class to have fun with, you know, as long as you take the time and do your due diligence and know what you're getting into. But is that the place where I wanted to store all my wealth?
Yeah.
And I figured out that that was not the case. However much time that took, right? Been investing in real estate for well over a decade at that point. So I had to take some time to make sure that what I thought was true was in fact true. And I think that's a lot of people, most people, you know, it takes some time. And I experienced that, and thus I give my clients the freedom and the grace to do that same exploration.
Yeah.
And figure out what's best for them and be there for them while they're doing it.
Yeah, it's encouraging. You know, it's an encouragement to go and learn. I'm convinced that if you're aware, you know, Nelson said if you know what's going on, you'll know what to do. You know, I mean, totally agree with that. And, you know, I mean, if you're aware of a situation, you know, the banking, for instance, you know, leverage and, and cash flows. I don't care if it's in real estate or whatever. If you're aware of what's going on, it becomes clearer and clearer what to do. You know, and then if you discover that you have the ability to put yourself in the position of maximum control, maybe not 100% control in 5 years or even 10 years, but to increase your level of control on these cash flows in your own little financial economy. And it sounds like, you know, maybe to the person who's, you know, a new listener or what have you, just hearing this, it's like, what are you talking about? Controlling your cash flows. You know, what is this idea? Becoming your own banker. What does that even mean? And I mean, so there's a lot to learn. And the more that you learn, the more that you're aware of. And whenever you become aware of the ability, the possibility that you could actually, in fact, control some of the cash flows in your life. And I'm not talking about the point where you're going and working and you're exchanging all your time, effort, and energy and knowledge for an income. I'm not talking about that. Whenever you can actually control the cash flows of savings, investing, loans, loan repayments on everything that you finance currently, it's now that's a whole new level of awareness, right?
Right.
And then the deeper you look at that, and really the when you actually start getting around to writing the checks, you know, if the conversation's over, you're going to write the first check, you know, your level of seriousness and even though you've been diving deep, the level in which you want to go even deeper grows.
It's a progression.
It is.
That's why it's a, you know, process of becoming your own banker, right? Yeah. It's never ending. You know, you're going to keep learning and keep implementing and keep, you know, possibly simplifying, you know. There's an idea there, right? As you say, simplicity is a virtue, right?
It is, yes, yes.
If I've got less things to keep track of and deal with and manage and you know, deliberate over, you know, whether or not I want to keep, you know, taking on whatever risks are there, is that a bad thing?
That's a fact, as long as it's doing what it's supposed to be doing, right?
That's right.
I mean, do you – so 5 years into it, so have you paid 5 years of premium or you're coming up on the fifth or
– Coming up on it.
Are you hesitant in your decision that you've made for almost 5 years ago? Are you reluctant to pay a fifth year premium?
No.
No. Have you and your lovely wife had a conversation of, like, why did we do that?
Yeah, we talk about this at least once, probably once or twice a year, but we try to do something quarterly. We were doing monthly kind of general check-ins for the first several years of our marriage just to, you know, got lots of moving parts and trying to figure out what everything is. And we kind of restarted that when we did this because, again, we decided we wanted to try to simplify things.
You're like, these are like family meetings.
That's right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's a lot going on. It's not just personal finances per se, but, you know, we manage real estate. And I haven't met one real estate investor that actually values their own time.
Yeah.
We spend a lot of time managing whatever it is, even if you've got a property manager, right? You're still in control of that property, and ultimately you still have decisions to make, right? So the more property I take on that we take on, the more we've got to manage. And this is something that takes a lot less effort. And because it is long-term, it's a different thinking process, right? It's not checking it on a yearly basis to see, was I profitable this year? You know, what kind of capital expenditures we have this year, and was this year, you know, in the black or in the red? You know,
what's
the
tax situation?
That's right.
Be?
Yeah, you get to
a 1031. I'm tired of this.
Goodness, all that stuff that we just don't value. You know, all the time it takes to manage that whole system, right? Your whole financial situation. Again, simplicity is a virtue. So if I know that I've been productive and I'm going to be productive in whatever I'm doing, whether that's my job, my business, a service I provide, whatever, what's wrong with just being able to do that if I found a vehicle where I can just put the money and save it and it's been around for at least a century, right? I'm trying to be
well over. Yeah,
yeah, you know, but you know, years. What company do you know has been profitable for 100 years straight?
I know about personally.
Besides insurance companies, right?
So I'm sure they exist,
and neither has anyone had a real estate investment that's only been positive for 100 years.
Yeah,
I can't even say a decade for most people. The buy and hold community out there, yeah, if they've had something for, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, they've probably been fairly profitable on the long-term horizon. But you still have ups and downs in the middle of those, right, each year.
Well, on paper anyway, they probably hadn't realized most of those gains.
Well, yeah, but then you get into, you know, well, I got the tax deduction, yada, yada, you know. Yeah. So that's a whole nother thing, right?
It'll getting be added into something, back in when I sell it.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding. Yeah, did you remember that?
Did I remember that? I never forgot that.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Dealing with taxes, you know, I got a private asset now that they will never know about, and I'm gonna keep it that way. And that just makes my life.
Let the insurance company deal with the IRS.
No kidding.
We're gonna end the conversation here and pick it up in the next episode. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for joining us on the Banking with Life podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to like and subscribe and click on that little notification bell. Otherwise, join us on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher for weekly content.